You listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's all rainbows, unicorns, and flowers. Being an artist. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Just, it's all rainbow. You're artist too, Sarah.
That is true.
We get to talk with... You're not an actress. You're not an actor, that's for sure.
Mr. Artist.
Our favorite liturgical artist in studio, Kelly Schumacher, liturgical artist of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts in studio today. I love getting your newsletter.
Thank you so much.
I love it. How often does your... It's what, once a month?
It's...
Or when you feel like it.
Kind of. Well, my mom and I put it together. So if she didn't help me out, it would probably be all
over the
place.
It's like every 6 months then.
She's just like, oh, well, it's actually whenever, like during the fall and Christmas seasons, we tend to put out more. Mm-hmm. But then during the spring and during like January, we don't really put a lot out. So it's more when they're, it's more like maybe once every 2 months throughout the year. And then at the... right around Advent and Christmas, a few more times. So
That was quite the artist answer.
Well, yes. Yeah,
wasn't it?
Of course. How do people get your newsletter now that we're talking
Thank
about
you.
It?
That was well, my next question.
You can sign up online. People can go through my website. They can go through my Facebook. They can, whenever we're at an event, there's always a mailing list. And this time I actually decided to write a little bit more transparently. Typically, I kind of just do an overview of like, this is this and that is that. And I was like, you know what? I think I need to write to connect. And it was a very interesting result.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you got some responses from those who received your newsletter, from your followers. And you talk about suffering and rejection. And this, I think this is a key theme for us as Christians, but also for you as an artist, specifically a liturgical artist. What role does suffering or rejection play in your learning and growth as an artist and in your work, too, as a liturgical artist?
Absolutely. Well, let's put it this way. When I started Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts 5 years ago, and then I started to kind of get bitten with the bug to do religious art 3 years before that. When I started, let's see, it must have been like early 20s, I started telling people, oh, I want to do religious art. I was amazed by the pushback of
really?
Professors and people close to me and even in school. And I was like, Wait a second. Should I even be doing this? And I actually, for a while, stifled it. It was about a year because people were just like, don't do this. This is not what you should be doing. Well, they weren't Christians. And so I kind of stifled it for a little while. And then I started realizing, and then I went off to graduate school and I was just prepared to become a portrait artist and become a college professor, which was the plan. And, I went through being in an environment that was very hostile to Christianity, and we were taught a lot of things that were very false philosophically. And I started to realize that the only way, and I had a Lutheran church that was about an hour and a half away. And so I found that the only way to maintain my sanity was to make religious art, even though a lot of people were telling me don't do it. But I was praying about that extensively, and a lot of the scriptural passages were very much about persecution at the time. And I was like, okay, this is normal. Mm-hmm. But I had in a way anticipated that because of that was people, outside the church. However, attacks within the church, I had not anticipated, and it hasn't been too many. I've had to learn through being prepared years beforehand that this is totally normal. And even though people are in the church, Satan can deceive anybody anywhere. And I had to realize my faith cannot be in the church itself. My faith has to be in Christ alone and in his word. And that has to be what guides me and keeps me safe no matter where I am. And I think that that's something that all Christians need to come to that place too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and creating artwork is, it's such a personal thing, because I mean, especially if you're creating things that are from your worldview and what you believe, it's such a personal thing to be putting that artwork out there. So when people are disparaging you from doing it, or telling you it's not good or you shouldn't be doing it, it hurts.
It does. And like, even when I started out with my Bride of Christ imagery, I did that, and not everyone knows that I did that when I was struggling with being single and getting my heart broken multiple times. And you know, but a lot of people were thinking like, oh, you're making this is about Mary as a co-redeemer. And I was like, no, it's because I want to get married and I want to have a family, but I'm putting my hope in Christ. And that was a very transparent thing for me to do. But then what's amazing is that it hasn't been many, but then there's the few that come to you and are like, I needed to know that I was part of the Bride of Christ too. I needed to know that Jesus loves me in the way that I want to be loved, but I don't have a husband. And, it's those few people, and even though there's people that will attack you and ridicule you, it's those few people that need to hear that message that you're making it for.
I'm just enjoying the story over
I'm
here.
Sorry, I tend to go transparent with my art. People just think, oh, she's talented. And I'm like, no, it's a lot of going to God's word and crying out to him and asking for help. And then the art is a way for that God heals me. And I know that healing that he brings to me is for others, not just myself. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm not doing this for fame or accolades. It's coming from a very raw place.
Mm-hmm. But that's key in being an artist. I'm waiting for the audiobook. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. I love good audiobooks. So your art, as Sarah pointed out, art is very much so very personal. There's a lot of your person in the work that you do. Mm-hmm. So are you when it comes to being a person, when it comes to Advent and Christmas, are you a purist? No Christmas until Christmas in your artwork? Or
No. Well, art takes me so long that
all
the church year gets mixed up depending on. But for the past 2 years, I've been meditating more on the second coming during Advent. So last year, I did a piece on the Bride of Christ and the marriage feast of the Lamb, but I was studying Revelation the whole time. So people are like, oh, this happens. And I'm like, ooh, the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. And the evil angels and the good angels are battling it out. And I kind of had a very apocalyptic Advent last year. So no, I'm not really a purist, because I will tell people Merry Christmas before Christmas, because you never know when you'll see them again. So I think it's always good. Celebrate Christmas every day. Why not?
Well, I'm just thinking of all that you mentioned, the dragon, all of the imagery in Revelation is really fun. And some of it is like, when you read it really closely, it's a little scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm reading this and I'm just like, all right, deep breaths. Deep breaths. This is a little intense.
Speaking of Christmas, do you have gift ideas or gifts that people can give?
I do. Well, sure. Well, I've actually started framing a lot of my Z clays, and people have been buying them pre-framed. I'm like wiring them and putting little pads on the back so they don't scratch your wall, so they're just ready to go.
Nice.
I have a children's book. And I can sign that for you. I've got Christmas cards and just unframed prints. So just check out my store. And all the art that I do is how God has brought me healing, hope, and comfort through his word. But it's also meant to go out and be given to bless others. Because all of us, what I've been given isn't just for me. We all need that same comfort and hope.
And the website, Agnus Dei Arts, for those of us new to Latin, let's spell Agnus, Agnusdei, arts.com, correct?
Very good, Andy.
Agnus Dei Arts. Thank you. Yeah. I learned that word in high school. Actually, I had the privilege of singing sacred music in high school, so I learned Agnus Dei Arts and knew how to spell it. But for those of us who are new to it, you gotta spell it. Agnus Dei Arts, great artwork there. Some great Advent and Christmas, all great artwork from our favorite liturgical artist, Kelly Schumacher. Thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on today and sharing your story. Man, seriously, we need to do more, hear more of this story. Like, I'm speechless.
Aw, thank you.
Oh, I know what I wanted to share too. One more note here. You have a trip coming up in the new year. We have just about a half a minute. Tell us where you're headed.
I'm going to the Dominican Republic and I'll be doing an art commission for the church down there. And then I'm going to be teaching about liturgical art to the students and seminarians. So I'm making a few coloring pages based off of my artwork and photographs. And then I'm actually translating everything into Spanish. So Agnus Dei is actually Corte de Dios, is Lamb of God in Spanish.
Very good.
That is super cool.
It is. And see, it's another chapter in this audiobook.
Yeah.
Right?
More stories.
Right. So we'll have to share your story when you get back from the Dominican. Thank you so much, Kelly,
Thank
for being on the
so
Coffee
much.
Hour with us today. Well, that does it for today. And more Advent and some pre-Christmas coming up this week. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.